And now we will hand it on over to you, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays pick up right where they left off before the All-Star break. A run on 7 hits, 0 for 10 with runners in scoring position. And yes, this was you, Darvish, and that does matter. But it's still pretty frustrating, especially when J.P. Arencibia comes back and hits a 3-run homer in the 7th inning that takes it from 2-0 to 5-0. Blue Jays talk is upon us, so give me a call. Talk to Igor Henriquez, and if he deems you worthy, you get to talk to me. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We begin with Garth from Mississauga, listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Garth, you're the leadoff man. Welcome aboard.
Oh, thanks, Mike. I'm sure you're going to get a lot of positive phone calls tonight.
Well, you know what? There's really not too much reason to get them after a night like tonight.
Honestly, just like from the most unbiased point of view, I mean, you came into this year, and every year the Jays dealt with injuries, every year, for the last, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. And to me, it's kind of funny that they expected, you know, any different. Once again, you know, you have a bunch of regulars out. A lot of them usual suspects, Adam Lind, Brad Laurie. The thing that kind of bothers me, there's two things that bother me. The first thing is that heading into the season, the Jays needed a second baseman really badly. And it's one thing if you can count on all these guys for 162, but I mean, you are really grasping at straws when you don't sign that second baseman. That's the first thing. The second thing is that, I don't know if you heard about this, but Bob Elliott tweeted that the Jays are not going to, or they're not going to take on any extra cash at the trade deadline, which to me is just utterly disgusting, coming, like, hearing what we have from Paul Beeston and everybody about ownership. You know, to me, as a Blue Jays fan, and I really care about this team, and I really want to see the talent, you know, being brought on this team to really win. I want an ownership that wants to win badly. And I'm not really getting that feeling from ownership right now. And I don't mean to put you in a hard spot about it, but personally, like, that really rubs me the wrong way. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on both those things.
Okay, well, the second base thing I didn't think was that big a deal, and I said it all spring long, that if you got a guy who can play defense the way that Ryan Goins plays defense and hit, you know, 250, then you're going to be fine at the bottom of the lineup in what should be a very good offense. Now, he hit 150 as opposed to 250, and the rest of the offense managed to be fine for a good long time until June 6th when the Blue Jays stopped hitting, and they haven't started since. And what's interesting to point out about the argument is that Munenori Kawasaki has been one of their best hitters.
Yeah.
So, you know, the second base problem is really not the issue here. It's everywhere else. I don't think you're being fair when you talk about the usual suspects getting hurt. I mean, Adam Lind fouled the ball off his foot and broke his foot. That's not a usual suspect injury. We've never seen Edwin Encarnacion with quad problems before. And when Brett Laurie gets hit on the hand with a pitch, This isn't, you know, guys getting the same injuries over and over and over and over again.
That's true. But, you know, at the All-Star game, Bautista said that having an artificial playing surface has really kind of, it's definitely making injuries more apparent or happen more regularly for the players there. And I don't know maybe I'm wrong, but I remember, you know, Jose Bautista playing center field this year. You know, when all the veterans, like Yankee veterans or any vets come to Toronto, they get a lot of time at DH.
Yep.
Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the turf is certainly a factor, but it's a factor
that
can't be changed.
Why haven't the Jays put, you know, any of their vets on DH? You know what I mean? Like Jose Bautista, before any of the injuries, he was never given, you know, a couple days here on the DH. He played, you know, a position every day. And to me, that's, you know what I mean? That's just not okay.
Okay, but the roster's really not built to accommodate that sort of thing. I mean, when you've got Adam Lind and Edwin Encarnacion on the same team as two of your best hitters, there's really no room to have anybody else DH.
No, that's true. But before that, even, when Bautista played center field, all those guys were in the lineup. Like, why is he playing center field? He's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's
well,
why.
Because
why
Colby
would you
Rasmus
ask?
Was hurt, I guess. I mean, I don't think that there's any. And I'm going to cut it off here because it's going too long. But I don't know why Jose Bautista having a game or two in center field is a thing. As far as the Bob Elliott tweet, which was that the Blue Jays are telling teams with whom they're negotiating trades that they're not going to be able to pick up any money. That's very disheartening. It really is. I mean, all we've heard from Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston is that ownership has been upfront in saying when this team is in contention, money will not be an issue. And if it needs it, when it's in a position to compete for a playoff spot, the wallets will be open and the Blue Jays will get what they need. And what Bob Elliott says today would be the exact opposite of that. The Blue Jays need help. They're right now 4.5 games out of first place, 3 games out of a playoff spot. They are right in the thick of things, and it is just awful to hear that ownership is not willing to help out. Jeff in Mississauga, you're up next. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
All right, thanks.
You pretty much just answered my question. I want to say, unfortunately, I missed the game tonight, but I may have been fortunate to miss it after hearing 17 strikeouts and the bats not working again. But what I was going to say to you is I feel like the season's slipping away, and are they going to make a move or not? You just kind of explained about the wallets and stuff. I just think it's got to be now or never. Like, When did the trades normally take place, and what do you think they're going to do, or are they going to do anything? I just feel like it's slipping away, and they have to act sooner than later.
Well, I think they're trying to, and now we understand that they're trying to, but in ways where Alex is going to have to get creative and going to have to get money matching and stuff like that, which, again, I think is terrible. But I think he's trying, and, you know, there's only been one major trade made so far, the Jeff Samardzija deal. You look at the Texas Rangers, and they've got a bunch of guys that they could move. They haven't moved any of them yet. Martin Prado, Aaron Hill haven't been moved yet. The Phillies haven't traded the guys that we all think they're going to trade. So, really, it seems like it's a bit of a seller's market because there are so many buyers. And if I'm a seller, I'm going to wait as long as I possibly can to try to get teams as desperate as they can be and squeeze as much as they can out of them.
That makes perfect sense. That makes perfect sense. Anyways, thank you very much for the call, Mike.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays, 5-1 losers to the Texas Rangers to open up the unofficial second half of the season. We'll continue to take your calls all the way till the top of the hour on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet590.ca. But right now, let's hear from John Gibbons. This is what he had to say in the wake of tonight's loss.
Gibby, as close as Dickey was keeping the game early on, and I know Darvish was hitting well, is it one of those things where, once again, you got to take advantage of the opportunities that your offense can get when they do get them?
Well, I mean, it was a tight game there. Both guys were pitching good. You know, Darvish was outstanding. You know, we did strike out a lot, but, I mean, he can carve you up pretty good. You know, we had Price on Sunday and then him tonight. I mean, you're not going to score much against those guys, so you really can't give up much if you think you're going to win. So I thought Dickey was good. He really was. You know, the three-run homer, of course, hurt. But, you know, I mean, he's been on a nice little roll pitching. We're not winning his game. We're not scoring runs in his game. So, but I thought, you know, take away that home run, I thought he was really good.
Gibby, as good as Darvish is, when your lineup has so many holes in it, apart from the guys that are injured, is there anything that you can do to get them going?
Well, Kenny, you know what? You try to keep the pressure off everybody. You know, everybody's feeling it. Everybody knows, you know, the particular guys that are struggling. They know it. I mean, they're working at it. you know, baseball's a game. You know, you can't go. You go out there and try harder, it gets worse. You know, it's not like a contact sport where the harder you try, the, you know what, you might be better. Baseball works that way. So, you know, you just try to keep them positive, keep them focused, and having a good approach to the plate. But, you know, when guys like Darvish are on, I mean, they're gonna. I don't care what your lineup looks like, they're gonna cut you up pretty good. They're gonna limit your opportunities. I mean, we had a couple tonight, but we didn't cash in. Left a few guys on base, but. You know, I mean, that's why he's in top pitchers in baseball. But I mean, we've been in an offensive drought for a while now, so, and we're due to break something out.
What was your reaction when you saw JP hit that home run?
It had nothing to do with the guy, you know, the individual hitting it. But it was a big blow. You know, the game's tight right there. You're within striking distance, and you know that. Doesn't put it completely out of range, but you know it gets awful tough with limited innings. You know,
Gibby, is it just a coincidence? RA's inning by inning splits. I mean, he, 1-4 is always great. 5th, he gets hit hard. 6th, he comes out much better. And 7th, he gets hit hard. Do you see anything into that at all?
No, I mean I don't. It's not something that jumps out at you. But we've said before, you know, you just. What the pitch is doing, you know, he throws it basically as a trick pitch, and some innings it's better than others. Some hitters is better than others. I mean, that's just the way it goes. You live and die with that. But when it's on, it's awful tough. But those ones that don't break quite as much, or maybe break into the right-handed hitter and don't quite get that down and in like a left-handed slider might, you sit out over the plate, you know, and they get hit, or the ball just kind of flattens out over the plate. So. You know, I mean, you guys have all seen it. It kind of comes and goes, like you said, inning to inning, sometimes hitter to hitter. So that's just what the pitch is.
And this year it goes in the 5th and in the 7th, amazingly. As Barry Davis asked that question, R.A. Dickey's ERAs in the 5th and 7th are horrible. 1-4 in the 6th, they're fantastic. And it's one of those things that just goes into the unexplainablistic files. The Blue Jays talk will continue. We'll keep on taking your calls, so keep them calls coming. Jays fall 5-1 to the Rangers. It's a Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Blue Jays fall 5-1 to Yu Darvish and the Texas Rangers. The Jays struck out 17 times in this game, and to add insult to insult, J.P. Arencibia comes back and belts a 3-run homer that really was the difference in this game. Series continues tomorrow afternoon. We're on at 12:30 p.m. Eastern for a 107 first pitch, Marcus Stroman against Colby Lewis. And remember, we'll continue to take your Blue Jays calls until the top of the hour on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Igor Enriquez, bye-bye.
The 2-0 pitch belted to right field. A long, high, deep drive. That ball is up, and there she goes. The Blue Jays are in flight. Rasmus with number 13, and the Rangers lead cut to 5-1.
Colby Rasmus 2-4 tonight with a single and that home run. And Colby, as we know, an awfully, awfully streaky hitter. And if he's getting into a good streak, boy, could the Blue Jays use that, because this offense just continues to fire blanks. They lost again today, 5-1. The All-Star break really did them no good, it looked like, but it was Yu Darvish. And Yu Darvish is going to do this. Yu Darvish is going to strike out 12 people in 6 2/3 innings and take advantage of a weak offense. Still, a 5-1 loss to the Texas Rangers. Let's see what happens the rest of this series, because the Blue Jays are still facing a team that has now lost 22 of their last 26 and has the worst record in Major League Baseball. Blue Jays fall 5-1 to the Rangers. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk. Taking your calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell in long distance. 1-888-666-0590. Adrian is in Mississauga. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. I'd just like to chime in on a couple things. Majorly, all this trade talk that everyone's trying to say that, you know, the pressure's on us to make a trade and everything. There's several factors I think we have to consider also. One, the management has said that, yeah, they'll spend the money, but it also falls on us, the fans, to pack in the stadium to so that their incentive is there to spend the money. Additionally, we've got to look at the trade market. You know, who's out there? What are we talking about? We're not going to get Price because the price we're going to have to mortgage pretty much everything we got. Then you look at bats. You're talking Rios, Utley, Hill, maybe. But, I mean, another aspect is how valued are our prospects across the league? Sure, we value Pompey and Sanchez very highly, but how are they regarded in the circles around the league as potential prospects and as trade bait? You know, if you believe the rumors in the Samardzija deal, we couldn't match what Oakland was giving them. There is rumors that they were asking for Stroman and Hutchinson. Are we willing to really give that up for Samardzija? I don't know.
No, the answer is no, because they didn't. And they were asking for Stroman and Hutchinson for Samardzija, and that would have just been a silly trade for the Blue Jays to make at that point in time. As far as all the other stuff, Aaron Sanchez is valued very highly, I think. Not as highly as Addison Russell, apparently, but very highly. And Dalton Pompey has opened a lot of people's eyes. Daniel Norris is a guy that a lot of people like a lot. There are good prospects. You know, the question of will ownership open the wallets appears to have been answered by Bob Elliott and the work he did and the tweet he sent out today that said, no, they won't. I don't know why you would say that they're not going to get David Price. I think it's certainly possible that the Blue Jays could put the best offer together, but really they have to start hitting and they have to start winning some baseball games. The first thing you said, though, just kind of stopped me in my tracks a little bit. There were 38,000 people here tonight to see a team that's lost two-thirds of its games since the first week of June. Fans did a great job showing up last year for a team that ultimately finished in last place that was expected to be not just a playoff contender but a World Series contender. The fans have done their jobs. I don't think there's any question about that. They were asked to show up. They have showed up. I don't think you can put anything more on the fans to say that there needs to be more support for this team. They're doing a wonderful job. Thanks for the call, Adrian. Appreciate it a lot. Again, 38,012 here for the first game back off the All-Star break against a non-Yankee Red Sox team to see a Blue Jays squad that had won just 11 out of 34. The Jays are averaging over 27,000 fans per game this season, and they brought in 38 tonight. Greg is in Niagara Falls. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Greg.
How are you today, Mike?
I continue to be well, thank
you.
Okay,
good. Well, I haven't talked to you in a while. I'm not giving up yet, and I'm. You did a good job. I watched yesterday with you were on with Hugh Burrell and Jeff Blair, and when they had Edwin in the lineup and Lori before they got injured, and Lynn just recently was injured, they weren't really hitting well, and that concerned me because, like, again, going into June 6th, I was really, you know, saying, hey, they're 8 games above 500, but I would like to say, which hasn't been brought up too much, but Jose Reyes, he's doing well, but he needs to do a little more. And with the money situation that you were just mentioning, too, is very disappointing, too. I agree with you wholeheartedly about maybe not having, you know, going to ownership and saying, well, if you need the extra cash, but hearing that is disappointing. But I'm not going to give up because, like I said, I've been a fan, anybody that knows me in Niagara Falls for so many years. And I'd just like to say, yeah, Reyes, I'd like to see, you know, do a little more because they're going to need him, the catalyst, like, you know, can't compare it like to 93, but Paul Molitor was always a catalyst, or Dave Winfield in 92. So that's what I have to say, and thanks for taking my call.
All right, thank you for the call. Reyes has not done as well as anyone had hoped, and he's gone through some serious ups and downs over the course of the season, but the overall, he's been fine, but you're right. You look for him to be more than fine. You want a guy to produce a lot more than Jose Reyes has since he got healthy. And, you know, it took him maybe 3 weeks to get back after he was back off of the disabled list. And since then, he's hit .302 with a .348 on base in 60 games, which is pretty strong. And 13 steals and 14 tries. So those numbers are pretty good, and better than I had thought, actually, now that I'm looking at him. And that's because of the little hot streak he got on towards the end of that road trip when he had three games where he went a combined 9 for 15. So now I'm not going to complain about what Jose Reyes is doing. I think we expect more from him, but if he's going to hit .300 with a .350 on base, that's what you should have been expecting a couple of years ago from him, and 17 steals and 18 tries for the season. But no, there's no reason to give up yet. They're 4.5 games back, and that's well within striking distance. Jim in Toronto. Jim, you're next on Blue Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
Thanks, Mike. I mean, anytime you're going into a game against Yu Darvish, it's going to be tough. And I mean, he's obviously really good. He has the ability to dominate a game in spite of the fact that he got, you know, the 12 strikeouts and he only allowed the one run. I mean, he got the job done. He had great results, but really he wasn't exactly dominant. I mean, his command wasn't fantastic in spite of the strikeouts. He walked a couple guys. He hit a guy. We got guys on base. We left 8 guys on base at least. I mean, the last time I looked when I was at the game, I thought it was 8.
9 and, it was when it was all over, yes.
Was that the final?
It was 9.
Pardon me, 9 guys on base. I mean, if you get even half of those guys in, it's a tie ball game. And I don't know if that's reasonable to expect or not. But
I don't think it's reasonable at all to expect.
You don't think it's reasonable?
No. No, teams leave. You can't look at left on base and say, you know, we should have scored a bunch of them. The Blue Jays had, when Yu Darvish was in the game, they had first and second with one out in the second inning with 7-8-9 coming up. They had a leadoff walk in the fifth that wound up getting to second with the bottom of the order up. They had Melky Cabrera at second base with nobody out in the sixth inning, down by 2. That's your real big opportunity against Yu Darvish. And then second and third, one out in the top of the lineup coming up in the seventh inning. So those were real opportunities, sixth and seventh, on which they did not capitalize. But the rest of the game, you know, you got a guy on here, a guy on there. I don't think it's fair to say they should have scored half the runners they left on. And I think when you look at the overall, over the course of a season, even game to game, every team will leave on a whole bunch of guys. And if they had scored half, they'll win pretty much every game.
That's fair enough, and that, you know, I suppose I, you know, don't know what the rate is that's reasonable to expect, but it's still frustrating. I think it's especially frustrating because you're going up against a guy who, you know, you could potentially run into him on a night where he won't let you even get on base. I mean, you have those guys against those dominant pitchers where you might get one or two guys to first base, and then that's all you get. And he has the ability to do that anytime he steps on the mound. So when
True.
You get a game where he, you know, isn't, I mean, he's still good. I'm not saying he didn't have a good game. I mean, he did have a good game, but he was not undefeatable. And, you know, it was frustrating to see them not even really get close to challenging.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch. This offense, it's not doing anything right now. And part of that is the personnel that you're looking at. When you have first and second and one out and Juan Francisco and Josh Tolley coming up, you really don't have much of a chance to score. You know, that's just the truth. And that's what the Blue Jays are dealing with right now, especially against a guy like Yu Darvish. I don't think he was beatable tonight, but he wasn't perfect and he wasn't great, but he was still very, very good. And against a team that's as shorthanded as the Blue Jays is, that's going to be more than enough most nights. Let's see what happens against the non-Darvishes.
Looking forward to that. Against the worst team in the AL.
Exactly. Against the worst team in the major leagues.
Me.
Thank you for the call, Jim. I appreciate it. And let's see what they can do against the non-Darvishes. Because Yu Darvish, I mean, when the Blue Jays are a last-place team and Roy Halladay's pitching, they're not a last-place team. Brad from Barry, you're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Good evening.
How are you doing tonight?
Still good. Go ahead.
Well, a couple weeks ago, I heard you, you know, kind of, you know, toot your own horn with regards to saying that you predicted that the Jays would be a contender or up in first place at some point, and for sure you're right on that.
That wasn't me. I don't make predictions. I said that I believe that the Blue Jays would be that any one of the five teams in the AL East could win it this year.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I mean, I think that was a reasonable assumption to make, and the Jays were there. I mean, they've been up there, but I think the problem is that their management, Anthopoulos, they've missed that opportunity back a month ago to move some players and improve their team. And I don't know, I'll throw some, you know better than I, because I'm just thinking about that middle infielder position, which obviously it becomes more important as time goes on. And I'll throw out the name Chase Utley. I don't know what the possibility of getting him would be, but I know that the Jays definitely had tradable items. And one of them, you know, was Rasmus. For sure, he's not the best center fielder on there in their organization. Ghost is by far a better center fielder. He's
defensively, yes.
Defensively, and, yes. And that's the most important thing, because the reality is that he has a very good on base percentage. He brings speed to the team. I mean, Rasmus hasn't done much lately, and that's hurt the team for sure. So I mean, you need Ghost in that lineup, in my opinion, defensively in that. Eight spot or what I'd call the center fielder spot, and then you know getting some arms. Like, I mean, I'm talking about arms that can, you know, like you look at the Yankees and they've done a great job getting young strong arms in there, and Dickey just hasn't done the job. I know they haven't given him support, but the reality is he gives up the long ball when they don't need him to. He hasn't won on the road. I mean, you could a month ago. You know, in hindsight, 2020, but all these guys are tradable items, including Adam Lind. So now that, you know, that ship has sailed, really the Jays can't trade too much else for the rest of the lineup, because they're the cornerstones of that team. My question is, where do you go from here? And is Chase Utley an option? Are they able to get someone of that magnitude? I mean, he's a tough one to get. I just don't know if his contract would allow it. Maybe you could shed some light on that.
Well, I have trouble with your assumption that there were moves that they could have made a month ago and that you think they should be trading guys off the 25-man roster when you're trying to contend for a playoff spot. Adam Lind has arguably been, been one of their three best hitters, maybe even more, against right-handed pitching, and I don't know why you would think about trading him.
The problem with Lind is the same old story. He's injured. You can't rely on him in the lineup. Down. I'm talking about in a week from now, or 2 weeks, or 3 weeks. It doesn't look like he's going to be able to sustain that, sustain being in the lineup.
He's got a broken toe. Once it heals, it comes back. But
last year was his back. The year before that was something else. My point is, he's not able to produce if he's not in the lineup. And you've got Batista having to play at a position for him. I mean, the Jays have enough guys that can play one bag. No big deal. My point is, you're going to have to trade somebody to get something. The Jays are not getting it done right now. They don't get enough hits.
All right, let's not get into repeating yourself. You're right, but if you're right that they're not getting enough hits. But the way to improve a team is not a contending team. Generally, is not to take away pieces that are contributing on the 25-man roster. You can make the argument about Rasmus versus Ghost, but you can also make the argument that, you know, what is Colby Rasmus going to bring you in trade? He's a guy who's a free agent at the end of the season, who's a power-hitting center fielder, who's better defensively than you think he is, but you're right, not as good as Ghost, but no one's going to give you something that's going to help you right now in order to get Colby Rasmus. And also, the thinking that they should have made a trade a month ago, well, nobody made trades a month ago because the sellers aren't selling a month ago. Those guys were, if they were available, they'd have been traded already. They haven't been.
But fair enough. But at some point, you have to pull the trigger. I guess that's my point.
Well, it takes two teams to pull the trigger. It's not a grocery store. You can't just go and pull items off the shelf. And if you get to the desperate, hey, I need to make a move now, I might need to overpay, that's when you wind up trading Michael Young for Esteban Loaiza.
I'm not making that type of a call. What I'm saying is there's some glaring things here. One of them is Dickey, who's supposed to be he's your main pitcher. I mean,
Dickey's given up more than three runs three times in his last 17 starts.
The reality is he hasn't got a win on the road.
He's got two. That's the reality. But the reality also is that he can't control whether he wins games or not. The reality is that in his last 17 starts, R.A. Dickey's given up more than three earned runs three times.
The Jays aren't winning with them, and that's the problem. And so at some point, you've got to make a move to get – if you're not going to trade him, that's fine, but you still need some young, strong arms in there, some power arms to get things done. And I mean, the Jays did a great job with Stroman. And they stuck with him, and he's shown what he has, and that's great. But they still need a starting pitcher in there or a middle relief guy, and they've got to move somebody. So I agree with what you're saying. You just can't throw away your pieces. But at the same time, too, you're not going to improve unless you trade somebody. You've got to give someone up to get something. And right now, the Jays are not winning with the lineup that they have. Right?
That's correct. Thank you, Brad. I appreciate the call. I'm not sure that you agree with me. I mean, you don't win by taking good pieces off of your active roster. That's not the way it works in the middle of a season. You want to make trades to improve by using your kids or players that aren't helping you now, because otherwise you're just opening one hole to fill another. Kyla is in Toronto. Kyla, welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, my first time I called.
All right, welcome
aboard. I have a thing about the ownership. If
sure.
you remember, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago, Roger spent $1 billion buying Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, DCC, Raptors, all that. Like, I don't, you're not going to convince me Rogers is committed to a championship team. They're just, they're willing to. So now they own Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment. Now they have to spend money with the Leafs, with the Raptors, and everything. Like a billion. They paid $1 billion.
I think they paid more than that for about 37. I think they paid more than that for 37.5% of MLSE. I'm not here to convince you that Rodgers is trying to build a championship team. I mean, that's up to Rodgers to do.
I don't think they are. I mean,
you may be right.
What major moves did the Jays do off season?
All season?
No, off season.
They didn't make any major moves in the off season.
No, there you go. So we basically have the same team on the field as we had last year. What did we do last year?
Last year they finished in last place. So there were a lot of reasons for that.
We have the same team on the field this year.
That was in first place 2.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, well, not anymore. We just on downward slide. I mean, that's what Toronto sports teams do. They get the fans all excited and they go to do the big crash.
Yeah, that's what the Leafs do. I don't know that anybody else has really done that in recent years, but yeah, that's certainly what the Maple Leafs have done. Thank you, Kyla, for the call. Look, I get frustration. I understand it, and there's reason to be frustrated. This team's been terrible for 6 weeks. There's no question about it. By the way, of course, Jeff Salmon and George Russick will be on at 11 o'clock to do Sportsnet tonight, and they're going to talk to this year's Indy 500 winner, Ryan Hunter-Reay, who's also won the Drive of the Year ESPY Award in back-to-back seasons. So make sure you stick around and stay tuned. That's up next when we're done with Sportsnet tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. But right now we continue Blue Jays talk a little bit longer, and we go to Corey in Port Perry. Hey, Corey.
Hey, Will and Aaron, what's up, man?
Just doing a show and stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. My question was just, like, what do you think about Matt Kemp? Like, he's not happy in the Dodgers organization. Like, he's a center fielder. He's semi-proven, but he's semi-injured. What would you, think about him becoming, like, the Jays going after someone like him? Because right now they say that he's not happy as a Dodger because he's playing left field.
Yeah, I don't know if the Dodgers care whether he's happy or not. And I think that's something that a lot of people kind of get into that really doesn't matter. These guys are under contract, right? It doesn't the team,
well, yeah, he's getting paid a lot too, right?
Right. A team would be – it's nice to keep everybody happy, but if they're not happy and they're playing, they're still playing. And Matt Kemp is a guy who only played 73 games last year. Who hasn't missed a ton of time this year, but he's been hurt. More importantly, though, Matt Kemp is a guy who's going to make over $20 million a year each of the next five seasons after this one.
And you want him to play at least 120 games or so, right?
Well, you want him to produce, and that's something he hasn't done since he got robbed of the MVP back in 2011. First of all, given the news about the Blue Jays' payroll constraints and the fact that Matt Kemp is a productive player for a first-place team right now, I'm not sure that that's a guy you're going to be able to bring in.
Well, like, I was just thinking because, like, a lot of people are saying, like, Melky's not going to be back next year. Rasmus, they probably won't be back next year. Like, if you move Ghost, say Ghost finally gets his bats going a little bit, like, bring him up and put him in left, say, somehow get Matt Kemp, would that not make the Jays just a little bit more over the peak than, say, Rasmus? Like, you'd be losing with Melky gone, right, because he's a constant hitter. But how would you compare Kemp to Rasmus for that part?
Well, I would have Kemp in left if he came here.
Yeah,
but again,
I
don't think it's a discussion worth having because he's you know, making so much money and he hasn't shown that that he's got that form that he had a couple of years ago. So I don't think he's a real target for the Blue Jays, though it would be very interesting. Thanks, Corey, for the call. A lot of people seem to want guys who aren't doing well who have done well in the past in hopes that they will do well again once they get a change of scenery. Those are moves that losing teams make. You know, trying to improve any possible way they can and taking these gambles, let's hope. What a contending team makes, and you know what, even as badly as the Blue Jays have been doing over the last 6 weeks, they are a contending team. They're three games out of a playoff spot right now. You want to bring in guys who are good players having good years. You don't want to have to hope that they'll somehow turn things around once they come to you. Mike in Newmarket, you're going to be the last one tonight on Blue Jays Talk. Make it good.
Hey, I like your show there, Mike. Hey, listen, I spoke to you before. I'm the one that told you should try and get something, a talk show going there for the off season there when baseball's in the off season. But anyways, I think though with the team though, I think what I'm really hoping for is that they don't really make any big moves here and keep this team together. They're a pretty good team and we're not too far off and whatnot, and maybe next year or whatever, but it takes a bit to get to this point that we can say, well, okay, we may do it next year. But I think they should keep it together, even as much as they're not crazy about the job Alex has done. I think they should even keep him together, just not to break this team up. Do you think they will keep it together even if, you know, that they mess up by a half a dozen games or whatever?
I think the core pieces are going to stick around. I think, you know, Bautista and Encarnacion, you pick up Lynn's option. Brett Laurie, of course. Those guys will be here. Rasmus and Cabrera may leave. Jose Reyes. I don't think that they're going to trade anybody, any of their big stars. And they're going to try to continue to build around what they have here, the team that, you know, was 38-24 to start this season. I don't think we're close to seeing a team that's in sell mode at all. I think they're going to try to add pieces to try to make the team better. And no, I haven't even thought about those sorts of things, about the Blue Jays breaking a team up in the off season. This is a rough run. It really is. It's been awful for 6 weeks. But this team showed over the first 62 games of the season that they could play pretty well. When healthy, it can play pretty well again, and by no means are they out of anything right now, despite these awful, awful run, this awful run that they're on. So, no, I don't see the core being broken up at all. I think that there's still a lot of good baseball in this team, and hopefully we're going to see it sooner or later. Again, the Blue Jays don't play a team that's better than a game over 500 until August 5th. Tomorrow we continue this series. Marcus Stroman taking on Colby Lewis. We're on at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. A 107 first pitch. See if the Blue Jays can get back on the winning track. Thanks to all the callers. Apologies to those of you to whom we could not get. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.